This morning, I am so excited to be here because, you know, we're talking about this coronavirus, and I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but, you know, every so often you have somebody, well, how are you doing? How are you feeling? If you walk into a clinic, they take your temperature, they ask if you've been out of the state of Iowa, how are you feeling today? My staff have to ask me the same question, how are you feeling today? How are you doing? Do you have a temperature today? And, of course, no. But we hear this constant. But my question to you today is, how well is your faith? It was Christmas in West Virginia, and the weather had not produced any snow. We were going to experience another brown Christmas after just moving from Iowa. And this is my personal family. My number two daughter, Lori, unbeknown to us, had been diligently praying for snow. Now, being her father at that time, I would have preferred the brown Christmas. But on Christmas morning, we got up, we went to the tree, opened the packages, and every so often, I'd see my daughter Lori go to the patio door, then come back to the Christmas presents, then go to the patio door, and she was doing this quite often throughout the morning. And so finally, it's dinner time. And in our home, I am always, when we gather for dinner, I always ask God's blessing on the meal. But she looked so sad, and I finally said, Lori, what's wrong? She said, Dad, I didn't get one gift. And I said, what do you mean you didn't get one gift? She said, I've been praying for snow. And I wanted to say, thank you, Jesus. It didn't show up. But we sat down, I blessed the food, and I looked up because the patio doors were just right in front of me. And there came one snowflake after another snowflake, to the point where it was snowing so heavy that the cars on the streets had to slow down. It was that bad. But what started out to be a brown, wonderful Christmas turned into a winterland of snow. And if you see the picture behind, that's exactly what it looked like by the end of the day. And I did not own a shovel at that time. I did buy one after Christmas. But that was a little girl with childlike faith who decided to put faith to work and believed that God would not let her down, and he didn't. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, or if you have your electronic Bible with you this morning, I ask that you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and there's two verses I want to look at today. There's a rest of that story, too. We had left one of our daughter's packages at my wife's office. Guess who had to go in the snow and get it? Yeah, you're looking at them. It was an interesting day. But the writer of Hebrews, in this chapter 11, writes two powerful verses, verse 1 and 2. And it goes like this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of those things not seen. In the Revised Standard Version, it goes like this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the word conviction is also translated as certain in the Living Bible. The Word of God tells us that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. The writer of Hebrews wanted Christians to understand what faith was all about. And so he was looking at the patriarchs in this chapter and how they believed in God, and how they put their faith to work with God. But the question we have to ask today is, what is faith? What is faith today? Webster's dictionary says this: faith is belief in, devotion to, or trust in. To have faith in someone or something without logical proof. Faith believes or trusts in something which at times can be difficult to accept. We live in a logical world, and today's society has taught us to be very apprehensive of many things that offer great deals and then let us down. There are promises that fail, opportunities that disappoint us when it doesn't happen, which makes us question what we really can believe. But aren't you glad that God doesn't work like that at all? Faith is believing. Faith is believing. And even in today's church, this is difficult. There's a beautiful verse that says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. That's it. Four words. Have faith in God. Before four powerful words, it's so hard to truly believe. Have faith in God. Especially in today's society. The Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, and I love what he writes to him because it's such an encouragement. I mean, there have been many a times I've used these very own words in my own life because I needed that kind of encouragement. But Paul writes this. He says, for which cause I also suffer these things. And there's a lot of things we've been suffering. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he... Who's he? God. That he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I love that verse because in the morning I can get up and when I'm having a bad evening or I'm looking at my schedule for the day and I'm going, Lord, it's just not fair. He kind of reminds me, yes, it is. Have faith. Then I'm reminded, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You see, even Paul himself found the time that he gave his life to Jesus Christ, that he could have faith in God that no matter what he endured, and God would not fail him. You know, over the years, I have found there's two things that God can't do. The first thing is, God cannot force you to do something against your will. That's very true. But the second thing I have found is that God cannot lie. In Numbers 23:19, we read these words. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Paul was writing to Titus to remind him of God's promises. And Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Paul says, we've got eternal life. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. Titus, have faith in God. He can't lie. The writer of Hebrews also says in Hebrews 6:18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. As we look at the individuals in Hebrews chapter 11, there is one thing that all had in common, and that was they had faith. They believed God. They believed God would not lie to them. They believed that God could be trusted. I wish we had people today in politics that we could even do that, but we can't even do that. But God cannot lie. I love it. I love it. Can you imagine being Sarah back in the days of Abraham and being told that you're going to have a child at 90 years old? Yes, some of you ladies are going, thank you, Jesus, that didn't happen to me. Lord, at 90 years old, I don't expect having kids. But God made a promise to Abraham that he'd have a child, and that child would have children, and those children would have children, so that the number of children that would come from Abraham would be the number of the stars in the sky, the number of the sands. And God kept his promise. He did not lie. And if you read Genesis 17, at the age of 90, and Abraham was 100. Guys, I am glad at 100 years old we're not having children either. I'm learning that lesson real quick. But they did. Isaac was born to them. And Isaac was a blessing to them. But God kept his promise. He did not lie. So how does faith work? How does faith work? We talk about it. You know, I have faith. You have faith. How does faith really work? Well, first, faith is certain of God's promise. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of those things not seen. I am certain through faith that if I ask God for something, he'll answer that request, even if he says, not now. Mark 11:24 says this, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Now, wait a minute. Let's go back. I can ask God for something, but he may answer by saying, not now. But isn't that a double standard? Isn't he let me down? No, not really, because God knows more than we do. Did you know that? That's what's so blessing about having God as our Father. In the book of Isaiah, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. Sometimes God says, when we ask for things, wait. And I have learned through experience that sometimes it is good to wait. Because sometimes if you don't wait, you make costly mistakes, or mistakes that you regret. But sometimes God says, wait. And he has that perfect time. I've been praying for something for years, and I'm still praying for it because God hasn't answered that prayer yet. But one of these days, I'm believing that God is going to answer my prayer, and I'm excited about it. I was yesterday seeing the eye doctor, and I had prayed since I was knee-high to a bug's ear that I could see without glasses. I mean, I was one of those kids that was unfortunate. I had those pop bottle glasses, grew up with them. And I said to the eye doctor, who's a born-again believer, I says, you know, though, God answered prayer in the most wonderful ways. At 60 years old, I had to have cataract surgery. It has been a God-sent blessing. I wear these just to read. It has been a wonderful thing. In fact, my driver's license shows I don't have to wear glasses. Isn't that neat? Yeah, praise the Lord. But God answered prayer, and it only took till I was 60 years old. Think about that. God didn't lie. God didn't let me down. He said, wait. And I'll tell you what, that's just the kind of God we have. Faith is confident of God's power. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, it's wonderful to know that we could have confidence in the power of God. It really is. And to be assured, as his children, he will care for us and he will be with us all of the time. All of the time. In our darkest hours, God is with us. When the battle within us is trying to defeat us, God is with us. When fear, worry, and yes, even despair tries to control us, God is with us. We have the confidence that God will never leave us alone, for he declares, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us. There's a beautiful song that used to be sung back in the 60s. He was there all the time. He's always with us. Wherever we're at, whatever we're facing, whatever we're going to do in our life, he is with us. We have to have that kind of faith that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Philippians 4:6, Paul writes, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything and tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank him for the answers. Having faith in God, we have the assurance that we are overcomers of whatever comes against us. Why? Because he's with us. This coronavirus has really become a problem in our world today. A pandemic, they call it. It has brought uncomfortable fear in the lives of many wonderful people. And I believe that we need to take Paul's advice, have faith that God will take care of his children. I know personally that I had it, unfortunately, earlier this year. We had it in May. We had it through our building, and several of us unfortunately contracted it. And of course, it didn't have to stay at the office. It came home. But we were able to survive. We didn't quit working. I mean, it was unfortunate. I had to take all my work home with me. I couldn't stay in bed and feel sorry for myself. But God was with us. He helped us survive. Somebody asked, what was it like? I'll tell you later. But we survived. Why? Because of God, who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I can tell you right now, today, we're being tested twice a week in my building, and I have flunked the test every time. I come up negative, and I praise God for that. Praise God. But God's been with us. He has never failed us. He's always with us. And I absolutely will not give it to anybody, so please don't worry. Faith takes a good look at God's divine design. I love to sit outdoors and admire God's handiwork. The universe, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, they're simply breathtaking. And to think that God created it for our pleasure. Faith tells us how the world and the universe really was made. It still baffles man to understand just how God could speak in the earth and the universe into existence, and it aligns in a perfect place. I'll never forget, I went to school at East Tennessee State University, and I'll never forget one of my science professors walking into class, and he looked at us, he says, I've got to teach you something I do not agree, and that's evolution, but I've got to teach it to you. So this week you're going to get the subject of evolution. Next week you're going to get the truth, what I believe, and that's creationism. I praise God for that guy. I always have. Because he did not believe that we just existed from a monkey. But God spoke it and it happened. By faith we understand the concept of creation. And as you look at yourself, you are God's masterpiece. Did you know that? You see, I have found that God has never made junk. You're beautiful in God's eyes. I have a new grandson, as you all know now. This is number 6 of my grandchildren. And I look at this little guy, and I think in my mind, what must have been going through as God created this beautiful little guy in his mother's womb? It still fascinates me. And I have studied the science and the physiology, the biology. I'm a science major in public health. So I had all that. But it still fascinates me that when you young ladies are expecting a child, what's going on inside that beautiful body that God is forming? It just blows my mind. But by faith, I'm believing that God is building and creating a masterpiece. And then they come into this world and they let us know how happy they are when they scream for their bottle. Even Grandpa has changed the dirty diapers. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Because I look at your children and I praise God for each and every one of those beautiful little children. They are God's masterpiece. They are God's handiwork. And they are beautiful in His sight. And as a pastor of years ago, I always said to, and I'm glad they get to go home with you, to you enjoy. That's faith. Believing in what the mind cannot conceive. This is where the world has such a problem. They have no faith in the true Creator. And for that reason, their answer has to be evolution for everything. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and he said, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Mankind has such a problem understanding God that to them the Big Bang Theory is the answer for everything also. But in the beginning, the Bible says God created. How simple is that, folks, to have faith? God created. He spoke it. It happened. And even today, it keeps on happening. Faith acts on the promises of God. Joshua, when he's put in the leadership role over the children of Israel, went before God because he felt that he could not do the job that he was given. He was not sure of his ability, and so by faith, he did the only thing that he could. He sought God's help. And God responded to Joshua by saying this to him, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong, be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." You know, if Joshua had not had the faith to believe God's promise that he'd be with him, I truly believe that even today the Hebrew children would have been staying in the wilderness to this very day. Joshua had the faith to believe God would take care of his people and trusted God for courage to lead them into the promised land. God honored Joshua's faith by helping Joshua defeat his enemies and to give the land that was promised to their fathers. That's faith. That's faith. Faith says that there is no greater reward than to know Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I have not had the opportunity to personally meet Jesus Christ in the human flesh. But I know he exists. I do, because he lives within my heart. And I believe that Jesus Christ made a sacrifice for me and for you when he died on the cross at Calvary. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. And by faith, I believe that he never did stay in that tomb because there's no body there. By faith, I believe that one of these days we're going to get to see Jesus Christ. We're going to get to see the Father. Because one of these days it's going to happen. By faith, I believe that. Hebrews 11:26 tells us that Moses was willing to give up everything that he had in Egypt to look beyond his current situation and begin the path that would lead to Jesus Christ coming to this world. By faith, we truly believe that there is no greater reward than to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. He's not only our friend, but he's everything to us. Our hope, our help, our peace. And the list can go on. Paul wrote this to the Philippians. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I have counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. For according to Paul, our faith in Christ is much more precious than anything that this world can afford. When I was a teenager, we used to sing a song. I'm not going to sing it to you. I just want to share the words to you. It says, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. What the author of that song was trying to say, you could have all of this world and all of its glory and all of its value and all of its wealth and everything, but give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. That's all I want. I'm not going back to the way I was. I love that. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Faith overcomes tremendous odds. I would encourage you to read this entire chapter, because it is a blessing. It's really not only eye awakening, but it says, yeah, that makes sense as you read it. When I consider Joshua's victory over Jericho, it was God who helped Joshua and Joshua's faith in God. And that you'll find in Joshua chapter 6. When I'm reminded of David defeating Goliath, it was David's faith in God. 1 Samuel 17. When Elijah and the 400, when I think of Elijah and the 450 priests of Baal and how God proved himself to all who were there, it was Elijah's faith in God that showed who was the greater, Baal or God. Because you know what? God won. 1 Kings 18. I think of one more, and it's not in the book of Hebrews, where there were 5,000 gathered. They had no food with them, but with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, the 5,000 were fed. And they say there was 12 baskets left over of food. And Jesus was proving his faith to his heavenly Father when he prayed and blessed the food, and those 5,000 were fed. When I consider the numerous, tremendous odds of many of the miracles that we read in the Bible that are recorded, I thank my God that he can do what the world thinks is impossible, but truly possible with God. I don't know if you've ever taken a good look at all of the miracles that are in the Bible, but I would encourage you, because when you look at the odds that stacked against those that needed a miracle, the number of times that Israel was surrounded by their enemies, and they began to pray, and their enemies were defeated. That was God. Having faith in God. In the late 60s, early 70s, there was a rash of strep throat going through the Midwest. I mean, we look at the coronavirus today and go, oh my goodness, this was awful, what we've got right now. I'll tell you what, the strep throat amongst our children was even worse. It really was, because many of them, the results was it was bad. Some of them ended up with heart murmurs. Some of them ended up with juvenile arthritis. Some of them ended up with everlasting results of the strep throat that they experienced. And it was hard. It was really hard. Because my sister had it. It was really war. Yes. As her big brother, it was really hard to watch. I never said anything to her, but to have her lay in a hospital bed that had to be brought into the house, never get out of bed, only to go to the bathroom, and you had to go to the bathroom next to the bed because you were so weak. Anyway, we watched that for 10 weeks, and from there, she had to go to Rochester at the Mayo Clinic. She suffered because she had a heart murmur. It attacked her heart. It was really serious back in those days. And we watched this, and there was nothing we could do but pray. And as she continued to see this heart specialist at Mayo Clinic, every time you just began to say, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, God? But you know what God did? He did a miracle. One day, they went to the Mayo Clinic, and the doctor came out of his office and, scratching his head, looking completely dumbfounded, said, I don't understand it. But the heart valves are healing themselves. A few months later, he told my sister, have a good life. I don't want to see you again. And that's exactly what she has had, a good life. You see, my sister is now still riding motorcycles. That's one I pray for all the time. But she's riding motorcycles. She's married to a wonderful guy. I've had 2 sons, 5 grandchildren. And she's still sharing Jesus Christ with whoever she sees. Yeah, my sister loves motorcycles. And y'all pray for her. But
actually, she gave
hers off. I know she did. That's my father. His prayer was answered. But but for with God, nothing is impossible. And forgive me when I get this emotional. I blame him. But I have seen the hand of God at work. Faith in God is awesome. And faith in God works. And I know as a church, we have been praying for a lot of things and a lot of folks and sweet little children. And God is working today like he's never worked before. My question to you this morning is, how well is your faith? Do you believe that faith truly is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? Or do you need a faith checkup? Because if you do, I would suggest 2 things. Spend more time with the Lord. Pray and read his word every day. Start to walk by faith and not by sight. Start looking at the impossible to become possible. In my Bible, I have these words written. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. How well is your faith? Begin to have confidence that God can do the impossible. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus.
Heavenly Father and gracious Lord,
in a world that we live in today, faith is sometimes a challenging thing to understand, but not with you, Lord. You make the impossible possible. You open our eyes to see your mighty work in progress. You, O Lord God Almighty, never let us down. And for that reason, we thank you this morning. And we ask that our faith will continue to grow. And as we go through this pandemic of a coronavirus, may we see you come out of this victorious, because you are the great physician and nothing is impossible with you. Bless us now, Father, that our faith will grow each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.